This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Online ordering has become second nature for some people, including at the grocery store. More stores are offering curbside pickup for pre-ordered groceries, but should the service extend to alcohol? It's a question elected officials and city administration are now debating in La Crosse. Today we'll discuss a proposed ordinance on curbside pickup of alcohol the La Crosse City Council is scheduled to take up in July. But La Crosse is not the only city considering online sales of beer, wine, and spirits. WPR reporter Shemaine Mills took a look at this issue this spring for WPR series High Tolerance, Wisconsin's complicated relationship with alcohol. She explores how online alcohol sales work and why communities are approving or banning the practice.
Grocery shopping's changing. Driving to the store no longer means having to go in the store. Instead, you can stay in your car, where items chosen online are delivered to your vehicle at a scheduled pickup time.
All right, so the click and go sign says, let us know you're here, text your name, or call this number.
Curbside pickup goes by various names depending on the store. Festival Foods calls it click and go, and I'm their first customer buying alcohol online. It's that new.
All right, I need to find my ID here because I'm assuming they'll ask for proof of age.
My ID is scanned by a grocery employee who brings out my purchase.
Yeah, like I said, the receipt's in that bag for you, and then you should be all set.
While many grocery stores sell alcohol, most of it's purchased in-store. As Rosley is strolling up and down the grocery aisles, picking out what he wants for dinner with his girlfriend. In the cart, there's some fresh fish, vegetables, and a six-pack of beer. The 24-year-old likes picking out some purchases in person, not on a computer screen.
Place your item in the bagging area.
It depends on the circumstances, but I would be open to the possibility. Currently, I would like to choose in the store.
People with kids, you know, don't want to bring their kids in and they can just pick things up.
That's former Madison Alderwoman Liddell Zellers. She voted to allow curbside pickup of alcoholic grocery stores.
They can just pick things up, including if they do want to get some beer or wine. The other side of it is probably most people know we are a state that is known for drinking and sometimes binge drinking.
Madison City officials eventually approved curbside pickup of alcohol ordered online, but so far it's been a non-starter in Neenah, where Alderwoman Marge Bates has helped lead the charge against online alcohol. She says the Fox Valley has too much binge drinking, something that gets splashed across the national news whenever there's a story on alcohol consumption.
A couple years ago, Oshkosh and Neenah were like number two in the nation, not two in the state, two in the nation.
The battle over where and how people get booze is being debated across Wisconsin because curbside pickup of alcohol ordered online is relatively new, and it's local officials like Bates who will decide whether a retailer can amend their liquor license to allow it.
Well, I understand people needing to get their groceries out in their car. When I had little kids, I would have loved to be able to do that, but it's one more step to say I can't get out of my car to get alcohol. It's not like the same thing as I need diapers. I need milk.
For over a year in nearby Appleton, a Pick and Save grocery has offered curbside pickup of alcohol. Officer Megan Cash says so far they haven't had any problems with minors trying to buy alcohol or intoxicated drivers.
There's always concern when anything changes, but it appears that we have a pretty good plan in place to safeguard any issues that would come up.
Brandon Scholes from the Wisconsin Grocers Association predicts online shopping will be the norm someday.
This business will double in the next year or two and double and double and double. It will grow significantly.
He's talking about online food sales, but with grocery stores selling a significant amount of alcohol purchased in the state, that will also mean beer, wine, and spirits in communities that decide to allow it. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Joining us now to talk about how this issue is playing out in La Crosse are Jessica Olson, La Crosse City Council member, and Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School. Julia, I wonder if you could start by explaining kind of how online sales and curbside pickup fall under current state alcohol laws.
Well, Wisconsin's laws are at both general and specific simultaneously. the state gives the municipality the authority to regulate alcohol. So let's just start there. This is a local issue. In addition, the state requires three things. It requires that the sale take place on a licensed premises. It requires that the sale be face-to-face. In other words, one human being has to sell the alcohol to another human being. And then the third point is that the alcohol sale, you can't sell to someone who's under 21 or intoxicated. And I should also add that the sale needs to be conducted by someone who is a licensed server or under the supervision of a licensed server.
Jessica, when did this issue first arise in La Crosse? You know, from the piece, we've heard that this has been around for a number of years now in other cities.
Well, it really came up in La Crosse a couple of months ago. Councilmember Andre Richmond brought forward an ordinance that would have actually banned all online sales and curbside pickup of alcohol, and that didn't pass with the city council. They felt that there still needed to be some freedom and flexibility, you know, some privilege for the disabled who might have a hard time getting physically into the store. Why shouldn't they be able to access and purchase a bottle of wine? They just came up with too many anecdotal examples of innocent people, you know, suffering inconvenience, that outweighed the potential downside or social harms to online curbside drive-up sales.
And so because the ban passed, that still leaves the city with the debate around what should be done then.
Exactly. We're looking at a Pandora's box with the lid flipped wide open with no caveats, no guardrails to say, well, where can this go wrong? How can this privilege be abused? You know, at the city council, we want to draft laws not for the 99% of people who, you know, make responsible choices and for whom such a privilege would not really affect anyone else negatively. We need to look at the small number of people who would abuse that option to cause harm to others. And that's really the point of this ordinance. It's not any moralistic denigrating of people who enjoy alcohol at all. I love my IPA. But we have laws on the books already that regulate it. You know, 9 o'clock at night, you can't buy any more liquor, any more wine. That doesn't mean you can't name me a dozen people who would responsibly purchase a bottle of wine at 11 o'clock at night. But we still keep that 9 o'clock time cut off because we know there's people out there that can't make the responsible choice who are going to go home and cause domestic violence and a whole host of other problems, that we put these restrictions in place to prevent that social harm. And so the ordinance I'm sponsoring was drafted by the police department to try to rein in some of that chance of that social harm from being perpetuated by completely loose, open, and free liquor purchasing.
And I want to dig more into the details of what the city council is considering in this proposed ordinance. But Julie, I wonder if you can offer your thoughts on this idea of thinking about alcohol regulations as a way to, you know, kind of prevent social harm and look at these issues that can go along with alcohol consumption.
Well, first off, we have to admit, alcohol is unlike other commodities, especially the commodities you find at a grocery store. Nobody's going to buy 3 heads of cabbage, consume it right away, and then go headlong into a school bus in their car. It has acute consequences. You drink too much, excessively on one occasion, an individual can do a lot of harm to themselves and others. In addition, there's long-term harm that excessive alcohol use imposes on a person. A community has community leaders like the councilwoman have a responsibility to think about community health and safety. And that's what all alcohol laws are based on. I mean, this is not a new idea to regulate alcohol. They've actually found alcohol regulation in the Code of Hammurabi. As human beings, we've been struggling with this for literally thousands of years, and actually, we're getting much better at it.
That's Julia Sherman from UW-Madison's Alcohol Policy Project, here with us today to talk about a proposed ordinance in La Crosse to allow for limited sales of alcohol through online ordering. She's joined by Jessica Olson from La Crosse City Council. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Julia, how many cities in Wisconsin currently are offering online purchasing and curbside pickup of alcohol? Do we know?
No, we actually don't. There's no requirement that people report it. I hear about a lot of them anecdotally. And the one thing that is very important to mention is that many communities take different approaches. For example, as you heard from Alderwoman Bates and Nina, they just decided they did not need to expand the availability of alcohol in their community. In Madison, they adopted a very detailed ordinance on exactly when the alcohol could be ordered, when it could be picked up, how the pickup area needed to be configured. And then there are some communities, like Appleton, that simply authorized it. Now, the authorization is not about click and collect sales. Community really has no overall view of click and collect grocery sales. What a community needs to do, and was originally before the councilwoman and her colleagues, was the definition of the licensed premises. Remember, that was the first requirement the state puts on it. Most people did not include their parking lots in the description of the licensed premises. So for in order for them to finish the sale on their licensed premises, they needed to expand it to either the entire parking lot or a couple of spaces or an area adjacent to the building. So initially, those are the requests that have been coming in to the city council. How different city councils and village boards have dealt with it in a variety of ways, but we don't know exactly how many.
Do we know how many municipalities have taken steps, like Nina, you mentioned, and what we heard in the story, to ban this practice?
To my knowledge, Nina's the only one that has absolutely banned it. But then there are communities that can simply refuse to expand the licensed premises to include an area outside the store. If your alcohol license says that you may sell and serve alcohol, depending on what your license is, in an area at the store at the back, and the city council refuses to expand it, you can't have click and collect alcohol sales. Nobody's banning click and collect grocery sales. We're talking here about click and collect alcohol sales.
Jessica, I wonder if any of retailers, grocery stores, have helped drive this discussion or weighed in on this discussion here in La Crosse.
Disappointingly, I have not been contacted by a single retailer in regards to either the overall ban that, once again, it failed, or the current legislation that I'm sponsoring to provide, regulatory framework. And it's a little bit disappointing because, they certainly can come to the table and discuss this with the Common Council, but I have not been reached out to, and I have not heard from any of my colleagues on the council that they've been reached out to. So we're just kind of moving forward and trying to figure this out with there basically being silence from the opposing side.
Yeah, I mean, why do you feel like we haven't seen people weigh in?
I would have to speculate on what their reasoning and motives are. And I don't want to denigrate or vilify anyone who sells alcohol. But we have to recognize that it does pose a risk to our community. It does pose danger. It has caused harm. And as elected officials, we have got to look out for our community's most vulnerable. And a lot of times in families that are suffering with alcoholism, that is our most vulnerable subset of our population, because you have family members trapped in that, and they're just desperate to see their loved one not go back to the store and get another six pack of alcohol when they don't need anymore. And we just don't want any new innovative technology to empower wrongdoing to occur, which we have to acknowledge goes on in this place. Otherwise, we're never going to help those people that need us to look out for them.
If this is such a concern about how this could feed into drinking problems in our community, why allow it in the first place?
That I was really hoping that the whole ban would just pass and we wouldn't even be dealing with this question of how to create a framework. I'm very heartened to hear that at the state level that there's a potential ban that might come through that would simplify and harmonize everything across the state to say we're not going to go down this path, we're not going to experiment. Everybody needs food, things like milk and eggs and cheese and bread and nourishment. Nobody needs alcohol. That's something extra that is a privilege. It's something anybody can survive without consuming alcohol. And to me, it's just to ask people to take that step, to walk inside a store that's brightly lit with people around, with security cameras, to go through that process in order to obtain alcohol. We're doing a lot of social good to protect other people who might abuse that as a way to get their hands on more when they don't need any more.
Julia, you know, I wonder what your thoughts are on if there are, you know, a lot of concerns with this. You know, why offer it in the first place?
Well, there's no good reason to offer it in the first place. One of the things that sometimes gets lost in the discussion is that even in Wisconsin, there is a finite market for alcohol. By expanding the number of locations that are selling alcohol for off-premises consumption, all we're doing is cutting a market that exists and is finite a little bit finer. I suspect that part of the reason you may not have heard from other retailers is this is not necessarily a boon to them. Not every alcohol retailer will be able to benefit from this, especially those that are in built-up areas that may not have their own parking area. I think there are additional problems for La Crosse because you're a university town. I had a discussion with the folks from Kroger, and I asked them what their policy was if there was an order for a group of bunch of frozen pizzas and a couple of cases of Keystone Light. When the purchaser pulled up in his car, the driver was 21, but everybody else was wearing high school letter jackets. And the response was, that's not going to happen. It may not happen like that, but something like that will happen. Our teenagers are creative and imaginative, and we know that 61% of them are drinking by the time they graduate from high school. So this expanding the availability of alcohol is very dangerous, and no community has worked harder than La Crosse to reduce excessive drinking and underage drinking. And I hate to see anything that could possibly cut into those inroads they've made pass.
No, Julia, but I think that people who support this measure might say that, you know, it's not necessarily grocery store's job to police people's alcohol consumption other than what the law requires, that they be 21 and that they not be intoxicated when they're purchasing that alcohol. You know, and I just wonder, you know, what your thoughts are on how we grapple with, you know, what grocery store's roles are in kind of policing alcohol consumption.
Well, I agree with you. But the problem has been is that when grocery stores put out policies and procedures, they're making a promise. They say, we're going to check the IDs. We're going to put stickers on every bag that has alcohol. But those are promises. And even cross my heart, hope to die promises are not enforceable. Ordinances are enforceable. Down in Boone County, Kentucky, they can... a coalition that's very similar to your La Crosse Risky Drinking Coalition that you had there a number of years ago, community group, they did a survey of the Click and Collect and found that 61% of the time, their members were never asked for an ID when they bought alcohol. If you rely on their promises and you're disappointed, you may not have any other recourse. So, in fact, we're not asking them to do anything to control an individual's drinking. What we're simply saying is we are concerned that you will not enforce the law, not because it's your intention not to enforce the law, but because there are a lot of steps here. This is new and uncharted territory. We're wise to be a little skeptical.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about online alcohol purchases and how the city of La Crosse should respond to the increasingly popular service. We're here with Julia Sherman from UW-Madison's Alcohol Policy Project and Jessica Olson from the La Crosse City Council. Jessica, the La Crosse City Council decided to defer this proposed ordinance that that you have before the city council for 30 days. And I just wonder if you could explain, you know, what was behind that move.
I get the impression from my fellow council members that since this was a pretty substantial regulatory restriction on the online sales, that they wanted to take one extra month just to allow anyone affected, in other words, the retailers, to have a chance to read it over, consult their attorneys if they so wished, and they just wanted to make sure that there was an opportunity for anyone in opposition to come forward. And I agree that that was the safer way to proceed, because the last thing that you want to do as an elected official, whether you're in the right or the wrong, is you never want to try to ram something through before the people affected have a chance to read it and respond to it. So that much I couldn't disagree with. You know, and I think too, there's a lot of complicated factors to consider, and I do want to bring up with my colleagues at the meeting that you have to consider everybody affected by this new realm of alcohol sales. And you know, we put the onus on the employee at the store to check for sobriety of the purchaser. Well, if you think about it, in Wisconsin, how early at night it gets dark, and how, you know, if you don't have a well-lit parking lot and you're walking out there with the customer's, you know, product, and they roll down the window, you know, you can't possibly tell me that they can conduct the same level of sobriety check in that dark parking lot when it's, you know, 10 below, freezing cold, dark at night, they want to get going, there's chaos, other traffic, people walking by. I look at it as also from the store clerk's perspective, because if that person turned out to be intoxicated and gets into a car accident, that's going to change that store clerk's life forever, even though they just wanted a part-time minimum wage job to save up money for school. So if you think about it from that perspective, putting down some of the rules that we've, you know, put forward, these time limitations, like you won't be able to purchase alcohol after 2 o'clock online, and you can't pick it up after 6 o'clock. Well, that sounds really inconvenient, but if you think about it from the clerk's perspective, we want to let that clerk have every opportunity to do their part of this equation, because then the store is going to come back and blame the clerk if a sale was made where it shouldn't have been due to, you know, driver impairment. And so there's a lot here to really absorb, but I think it's a good ordinance. I think it will provide protections for the community. It'll be better for the clerks who actually have to conduct the sales, and it'll sort of limit the risk that we're taking in venturing into this new realm.
Yeah, as you mentioned, this proposed ordinance would allow online sales for curbside pickup from 9 in the morning to 6 in the evening, but requires a 4-hour minimum wait time for same-day purchase. And I wonder if you can kind of dive into the reasoning behind that 4-hour minimum wait time.
That is so critical. You know, I was kind of surprised that the police department drafted these particular specifics. I didn't come up with them myself. I relied on their expertise. But, you know, the immediate thing that flashed back was when I was married to an alcoholic 10 years ago. He wasn't an alcoholic when I married him, but, you know, he couldn't get a job after the recession. PhD in physics, graduated University of Iowa just at the wrong time in 2008. And, you know, so I was already married him for 3 years, and he basically fell into a bottle, and I wasted 2 years of my life trying to pull him out and had to walk away from what was a really good marriage. And thinking back to that, you know, that's about the time in the afternoon, 2-3 o'clock, that we're already drunk, we want to get another six pack. And, you know, I understand what it's like for families who are dealing with an alcoholic in the family. From that experience, I would feel like this law would protect me if I was still in that situation with an alcoholic husband. This is a good law. I think this is what we need here in La Crosse. We know we have a drinking problem. We don't need to debate that anymore. And I do think that this is going to put the guardrails up to prevent somebody who doesn't need another six-pack to be able to more easily get their hands on another six-pack. And people will avoid suffering, a lot of suffering, because of this if we pass this.
Some anecdotal evidence behind a 4-hour minimum wait period. Julia, I wonder if we have any data to support this issue or support this discussion.
Well, this is a very, very new type of retail sales. There simply hasn't been time to build the database. One of the issues is that there is not an agreed-upon, verified form of enforcement for click and collect. Many people are familiar with alcohol age compliance checks. There are many good, solid protocols for that. But one hasn't been developed yet for this sort of click and collect or curbside alcohol pickup. And that makes it difficult because if you don't have a standard to measure by, it's tough to gather statistics. If we could go back to the topic from a second ago, in some other than the time limit, that makes a lot of sense. In some communities, they've set that time limit very near what this draft does, but also to make certain that once kids get out of high school, they can't order alcohol online and pick it up. And the pickup ends before parents get home. In other words, they want to make sure that there's some adult supervision around, that kids aren't able to order alcohol online during school hours and then pick it up afterwards before their folks get home. Teenagers aren't bad folks, but their impulse control is very, very sloppy at that age. So we need to put in some controls for them.
Jessica, I wonder, people who are maybe would look for the service for ordering ahead for a party they're hosting, that dinner party they're hosting, you know, 2 o'clock, that might be a little early for most people, or 6 o'clock, they might not be off work. You know, how do we kind of respond to those situations?
Asking a citizen to hop in their car, go to the store, get out of their car and walk a few feet into the store and buy your alcohol the way you've been doing it for the last how many decades since you've been legal to buy alcohol is a very minuscule ask to our citizens. And what I'm saying and what I've shared kind of through my story today is you're going to do a lot of good for your fellow citizens who need those protections by following those rules. It might not be as convenient as possible for you who knows how to follow those rules and is not making bad choices, but I'm asking you to jump through a few hoops for the people out there that need those regulations in place for their own health and safety. And you know, I'm happy to talk to any constituent, any retailer. I'm very open, honest. I don't mind if people disagree with me, but I think I put the case forward why this is a good thing for the community. And I really hope that the other council members can see my perspective and understand why this is important.
Jessica Olson, member of the La Crosse City Council, is here with us today to talk about online sales of beer, wine, and spirits in light of a proposed city ordinance to allow limited online alcohol purchases in La Crosse. She's joined by Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Alcohol Policy Project at UW-Madison Law School. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on online alcohol sales. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to more stories in WPR's High Tolerance series, exploring Wisconsin's complicated relationship with alcohol. Our site has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Online ordering is all about convenience. It's why more grocery stores are letting customers pick out food and other household items online and delivering it right to their car in the store parking lot. But should stores extend this service to sales of beer, wine, and spirits? It's a question many cities in Wisconsin have been grappling with over the last few years, and it's now being weighed by the La Crosse City Council. We're talking about the issue with Jessica Olson, La Crosse City Council member, and Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Alcohol Policy Project at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School. Julia, you mentioned at the start of the program that Wisconsin really leaves it up to municipalities to, you know, set alcohol policies at a local level. You know, and I wonder if you could speak more about, you know, why we haven't seen this debate maybe yet at a statewide level of whether to allow online alcohol purchases, you know, across the state.
primarily because it's a local issue. If it's a local issue, I'm not certain how much a statewide debate really is necessary or elevates the discussion. What I'm seeing is debates in communities as grocery stores in their area wish to initiate click and collect. And that's really the way it should go, because at that point, that community, like La Crosse, can look at the procedures, look at the benefits, look at the risks, and make the best decisions for the health and safety of their own citizens.
But we have seen some measures not yet introduced, but have been kind of released. Republican State Representative Gary Tauchin has two bills he's looking to introduce on curbside pickup and also delivery of alcohol in the state. Julia, how would these measures kind of change the conversation?
I've only heard about them and seen a preliminary draft. I haven't seen a final draft, so I can't tell you what those specific bills do. I can tell you that the indications I've seen and the summaries is that one of them basically preempts local control over click and collect and sets a very low bar, requires communities to allow click and collect alcohol sales at any time that the store is open. That robs communities of rights that they have had since we were a territory, even before we were a state, and that concerns me.
Jessica, what are your thoughts on this idea of seeing these measures come forward at a state level?
Well, I do think that there are some things that are more easily handled at the state level in Madison. This being one of those, especially the issues that go towards protecting the public good, because it removes a lot of the local politics and local pressure and the retaliation or payback factor that if you do something that would potentially harm very large, powerful companies' bottom line, which I'm not saying that this necessarily is going to be, but there is a fear factor among council members making enemies over something that doesn't really directly affect your district or your constituents. But to be asked to be put out there, your name and your support to regulate something, when it could be just done in one fell swoop from Madison, it's very attractive for a council to look to the state to just say, well, this is pretty much across the board, something that affects all of us in the state of Wisconsin. Could you set the new standard? Especially for something that's brand new, that's born out of technology that we've never had to grapple with before. We've never had to write regulations for this before, because 10 years ago, nobody thought you could pull out your phone and order alcohol. but now that's becoming reality. So, if you look at the purpose of state law to harmonize how we do our business across the state, I feel it would be a great thing for the state to sit down and write some excellent regulations. I've seen it in the rental industry in Wisconsin with the Division of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection and the Wisconsin Way booklet that is a 30 to 40 page. It covers every detail so well that it's standardized the rental industry since the 1970s and provided, a great benefit to people and consumer protection. And I see the same sort of thing happening with alcohol regulation, that if you have a group of really smart, nonpartisan, smart people in Madison sit down together and really craft the right framework, apart from local politics, apart from local, companies that would pressure, individual council members, that's the best way forward, but it might not be able to happen.
Julia, what are your thoughts on the benefits of potentially having statewide consistency and removing, as Jessica has described, local politics from this issue?
Well, I sat on the city council, so I can tell you from sad experience, nothing's nastier than local politics. At the same token, I know our communities are all different. And from experience, I also know that when alcohol policies tend to get preempted and standardized, they are standardized at a very low level, with communities unable to take steps that protect themselves. Recent things that have been done in this area have not benefited local communities. For example, we now have standard that says if an alcohol age compliance check is conducted and the licensee fails repeatedly, you can still only target cite the clerk. You can no longer cite the licensee. La Crosse actually went to appellate court to make it clear you could cite the licensee because clearly they were not holding their employees responsible. But we can't do it anymore. We have a standard statewide law that says you can only cite the clerk. So while I agree there have been examples, I fear in this case that special interest groups with an economic interest in seeing a very, very low bar would likely dominate the discussions.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. We're talking about online alcohol purchases and how the city of La Crosse should respond to the increasingly popular service. We're here with Julia Sherman from UW-Madison's Alcohol Policy Project and Jessica Olson from La Crosse City Council. Julia, I know a big issue with online alcohol sales, with curbside pickup of alcohol, is preventing, you know, what's referred to sometimes as the straw buyer, someone who is over 21 buying for those who are underage. And, you know, I wonder maybe if you could explain more about kind of the concerns with allowing for this type of sales.
We know that legally aged family members are often the people that young people go to, those underage, to purchase alcohol on their behalf. This just makes it easier. If you're handling a couple of 20s to your best friend's older brother outside a liquor store, they may not want to go through with the deal. But if it's done online, it all feels very distant, and it's actually pretty easy. They go ahead, somebody orders it, puts it on a credit card, and then you give them the money and they go and pick it up for you. It makes straw buying much, much easier. And, in fact, we also know that there are a lot of 18 and 19-year-olds out there with credit cards. If they look somewhat like the person with the credit card and they can get an ID that would pass, we know that one of the points that often gets missed is people need to check to see that the name on the credit card is the same name as it appears on the alcohol, on the driver's license. When it's January and it's 40 below and it's dark and the snow is going and people have knit hats pulled down over their eyes. We all look alike in January and February in Wisconsin because it's the only safe way to look. We're just really concerned it would happen. With alcohol policy, it's never what you intend to do that causes problems. It's the unintended consequences that so often harm a community. It can make you sound a little paranoid on occasion, but we know from other communities that have been going down this area that unless you require them, it's in the law, it's a condition attached to the license, that unless ID checks and all the other steps are required, that they will be skipped at some point. People just get sloppy if it's not required. That's why we don't have voluntary speed limits.
Jessica, how have you handled the issue of, you know, trying to prevent straw buyers?
The straw buyer question.
Yes, people.
Well, you know, it falls back on the police department to provide the enforcement mechanism. You know, I'm not familiar with all of the specific enforcement action, and even if I was, I don't know if it's something I can broadcast on air, how they go about double-checking and making sure that our license holders are in compliance. But one thing I can tell you is it's just incredibly difficult to take away, you know, somebody's license or privilege. I actually spoke to the city attorney, and it's never happened in the history of La Crosse that anyone has had their liquor license revoked because it's such a difficult thing to do because the feeling is, well, you're taking away my privilege or my rights and you're not treating me as fair as other businesses selling alcohol. And, you know, there's a defensiveness there once a privilege has been absorbed into their business practice that as far as actually, you know, following through, whether it's, you know, the straw buyer problem, fake IDs, et cetera, you know, that businesses become very defensive of their practice once they've been allowed to start engaging in it. And I believe there's only been one suspension, and it was a couple of days, and it was basically just a slap on the wrist for one liquor license holder. And I can't even remember what the infraction was. But the amount of work that it took the city attorney to put together the case to bring to council and to get that tiny little suspension that basically was a blip on the map was so out of proportion that it makes it almost meaningless to try to follow through with an enforcement action and cause that license holder to suffer consequences. And I think, you know, Julia touched on that and explained, you know, pretty well in this hour, you know, the challenges that we're facing at the city council level. But what I can tell you is that once a privilege is out there, actually curtailing it and drawing it back once we realize maybe this wasn't a good thing, my gosh, you're talking about the police department's going to have to try to draw statistics to show that something bad happened. Well, how are you even going to start to do that? It would just be so burdensome to try to scale it back. And what I'm saying is, well, let's just not go down there in the first place, because if we can't find our way back home to where we were before we allowed this, we're going to be stuck with whatever those consequences are going to be. Why do we want to risk that?
Hope, it's really clear. In Wisconsin, legally, there is no right to an alcohol license mm-hmm. or an expansion of your license premises so you can do click and collect. It's not a right. It's a privilege, as the older woman said. But once awarded, it can only be changed, non-renewed, revoked, or suspended for cause. So once the city council begins to expand the premises to allow click and collect, unless that licensee misbehaves, has bad conduct, there's another sort of violation, that's the way the community will operate. You have very few ways of ever reclawing back that privilege. You can't. So these are very serious and, in most cases, permanent decisions for the community. They need to be considered carefully.
Jessica, I wonder, has the city council discussed, is there a risk that bars and restaurants could ask that their service area be extended?
That's a new era we haven't even touched on yet. And there was even confusion with the ban before. So I'd rather not even open up that can of worms and just kind of focus on this retail sales, you know, the carry away containers before even starting that part of the discussion. But that'll come along eventually.
Yeah, Julia,
has already occurred in Wausau. Hmm. There was an application filed up there, and it was rejected quickly.
An application from a bar or restaurant to extend their service area.
From a restaurant.
Can you explain, Julia, maybe what the difference between those liquor licenses, between a liquor license for a restaurant versus a liquor license for a grocery store?
Well, it's pretty straightforward. In a restaurant, you're drinking the liquor on premises. And when I say liquor, I mean beer, wine, or distilled spirits. It's just not hard alcohol as such. It's called a Class B on-premises license. And if it's a Class A license, it's Class A, and a lot of folks use the A to remind them of the word away, that is bought to be consumed at another location. Grocery stores are Class A licensees. You purchase the alcohol, you take it someplace else, it's consumed there. Bars and restaurants are Class B on-premises. Many of them could also qualify, if they wanted, for a Class C license, if they wanted as a restaurant. But that's a different issue today. But there are circumstances, narrow, but there are circumstances under which they can currently, if you've purchased a bottle of wine to take home go with your dinner, it can be resealed by the restaurant, and you can take it home if it's not, you know, sitting in your cup holder. So we already have a small, very small exception now for wine if you're drinking it at a restaurant.
So we know that we have seen other states approve these sort of online curbside pickup sales. Have we seen any states kind of dive into allowing bars and restaurants do these sorts of extending their service area?
I'm unaware of it, but there could be. As I said, this is a very new, very developing area.
Jessica, you mentioned the La Crosse Police Department. I know La Crosse Police Chief Ron Tischer has said that he would like to see clear rules for operating to make it easier for officers to enforce whatever the city council does end up approving. You know, do you feel like have seen that in this proposed ordinance?
I think, you know, I have to credit the police department for the drafting of the language, first off. And I think that was important because they're the experts when it comes to what language is going to best serve their, you know, their goals and their responsibilities. And I do think the amount of detail that's been put in this is going to help restrict us from going completely wide open on all possibilities. So there has to be a defined parking spot dedicated for this particular business activity. I think that helps preclude the notion that we're going to have a little drive-through loop get set up on Oktoberfest and have everybody in town just coming on through to get their booze and selling out of parking lots. You know, I have to credit the police department for thinking it through, and really I couldn't find anything that they needed to regulate in greater detail. You know, a map has to be on file with the expansion of premises application to actually physically identify where in their parking lot people can pull up and purchase. So that's going to tell the police that when they see a car in that area, then somebody is engaging in an online sale, and the officer can come and just sort of check up on things and see how see whether or not the rules are being followed. So I am confident we have a good draft ordinance. To this date, I haven't had any colleagues ask me to change anything or any of the retailers ask me to change anything. So I certainly hope that we can get this on the books and get some protections in place and see how it goes.
Julia, how have we seen police departments in other communities kind of engage in this discussion?
Well, communities, it depends on the specific community. In every community, they have been involved. Some communities, like Nina, it was actually their then chief of police who led the charge against it. He's no longer the chief, well aware that increasing the number of locations that sell and serve alcohol could increase the amount of drinking that went on in the community. He felt there were sufficient places and sufficient ways to purchase alcohol in Nina already, and it was unnecessary in places like the city of Madison, where they crafted an excruciatingly detailed ordinance. A representative of the police department, in addition to the city council and the Alcohol License Review Board, was involved. One of the challenges of this evolving area is that handy off-the-shelf enforcement actions are simply not available yet. We don't know. I suspect at some point in the future we're also going to be dealing with the issue of what happens if it's not that individual's credit card. What if a credit card number gets hijacked and assigned somewhere else? We haven't even looked at the whole issue of credit card fraud and click and collect sales. Some time ago, I was speaking to colleagues in about four other states and the CDC, and none of us were aware of any states that had created some form of enforcement mechanism that could be tested and then applied across the board. It just didn't exist. And that's another challenge here.
Jessica, I wonder what your thoughts are on, you know, those who are in support of online alcohol sales, this sort of curbside pickup, saying that, you know, if we don't allow this practice, that, you know, La Crosse and other communities that restrict it too much are going to be left behind, that people are going to look to communities that are taking a little bit more progressive approach to what some might see as progressive approach to this sort of practice.
I'm not convinced that alcohol is what makes our city great or makes our state great. I mean, it's a product. It's not evil in itself. But I don't think that our the ease of which you can obtain alcohol is any spectacular measure by which to gauge the progressiveness or the quality of life of a city. You know, each state has their own set of liquor laws. Each locality then adds on what they feel is appropriate, and that's our charge, is to determine what level of regulation is appropriate for everybody's common good. And some states, you walk into a liquor store and it's not just restrictive hours, they don't allow it to be in coolers, and you have limits on how much you can purchase at one time, and much more onerous burdens than we have in Wisconsin. I don't think that state is behind or somehow less than Wisconsin. I don't want to define our city or our state by our alcohol sales and regulations.
Jessica Olson, La Crosse City Council member, and Julia Sherman, coordinator of the Alcohol Policy Project at UW-Madison, join us to talk about a proposed ordinance in La Crosse to allow limited sales of alcohol through online ordering. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Newsmakers.